Welcome to Cannabis House Call. This podcast is committed to educating the discerning public and will make the case for cannabis as medicine. Your hosts, Dr. Les Matthews and Dr. Hal Altman, are physicians with advanced degrees in medical cannabis. The Cannabis House Call is sponsored by Compassionate Certification Centers, or CCC. CCC is a physician-owned and leading medical marijuana certification center that helps patients receive legal access to medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. Having certified more than 100,000 patients across the state through its in-office and virtual telehealth appointments, CCC makes the process of getting a Pennsylvania medical marijuana card fast and easy. Learn more at cccregister.com.
Hello and welcome back to Cannabis House Call. My name is Dr. Les Matthews, and I am joined, as always, on this podcast by my colleague, Dr. Hal Altman. We are both physicians, medical doctors with advanced degrees in medical cannabis, and we join together to produce this podcast on a weekly basis with the sole intent of providing the listening public with unbiased and objective information on all things cannabis. In this episode, we are particularly honored to be joined by a distinguished member of the cannabis community, Dr. Andrew Koop. Dr. Koop is a renowned expert and researcher in the field of medical cannabis, was one of our esteemed professors in our cannabis program at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy, and we're thrilled to have him join us. I'm going to turn it over to Hal to make a more formal introduction, but welcome, Andy, to our podcast.
Pleased to be here.
I'll echo Les. We are absolutely delighted to have Dr. Koop with us. He's one of our favorites, and he is always entertaining as well as provides great information. So, Dr. Koop, one of the things that we haven't addressed yet in these podcasts is the difference between the pharmacology of THC and CBD. And we were wondering if you could give us your bent on that.
I want to thank you again, Hal and Les, for inviting me here today. I really appreciate that. In terms of explaining the difference between THC and CBD, we first of all need to define those terms, what they are, where they're found, and then what they do. When we talk about THC, we're really talking about a component, a compound in cannabis, and THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. But even more than that, we're talking about a compound, delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol. For many of the folks listening here, the delta-9 is a very chemical. We don't need to go into why. But that distinguishes it from some other compounds that you might find sold as legal THC analogs, such as Delta A, Delta 10. But the one we will talk about when we talk about THC here is tetrahydrocannabinol. It's a component of cannabis. CBD, cannabidiol, is another separate, different component. It's its own drug and is also present in cannabis. When we focus on components of cannabis, we often focus on the THC and the CBD, along with the terpenes. And these are the main ones, although as we're fully aware, there are many, many components and all have pharmacological mechanisms of action. Within your previous podcast, you've talked about the endocannabinoid system. And it's the interactions with the endocannabinoid system is the differences between THC and CBD. THC activates as an agonist at both CB1 and CB2 receptors. And this gives the prototypical neuroactive effects of cannabis. You've talked about the effects of the endocannabinoid system. So that activating the CB1 receptors mostly, and as you've already done, they tend to be central, whereas CB2 tend to be peripheral in the immune cells and things. THC activates those to give their effect. CBD Although it's a related compound, it's actually very, very similar looking if you looked at the structure. It does not activate CB1 or CB2 receptors. It does not activate them. There is evidence that through some mechanism, CBD lessens the effects of THC at CB1 receptors, which is why many folks with the combination of THC and CBD, the CBD seems to lessen the effects of THC. So what does CBD do then apart from that? Because CBD is sold everywhere. Well, CBD, although it doesn't interact with the CB1 or CB2 to activate them at least, interacts with other systems within the body. One of the main results of CBD is actually anti-inflammatory. So if we think about the pain-killing effects of drugs, one huge way to actually reduce pain is to reduce inflammation. And CBD, through various mechanisms of action that's very complicated, we won't go into today, actually appears to have anti-inflammatory effects. It's one of the reasons why CBD creams are all over the place, because it's to reduce the inflammation in joints.
So as follow-up, Dr. Koop, to that contrast, we've spoken before on this podcast about the entourage effect and wondered if you might, again, give us your opinion on the entourage effect and whether or not the botanical medicine that we get from naturally occurring cannabis might be more effective as medicine than the individual components or some of the synthetics.
So the entourage effect is a place that there is still considerable controversy. There are individuals who swear that the entourage effect is real. And there are individuals who swear that the entourage effect isn't. Now, what we do know from what I said earlier, that CBD, through some mechanisms, dampens the effects of THC at CB1 receptors, shows you that one drug does interact with the effects of another. And this is widely known. Administering more than one drug leads to what is known in the actual pharmacy world as drug-drug interactions. Normally in the pharmacy world, in terms of westernized medicines, they're not wanted. They're usually things we don't want. So to answer your question, yes, we do know that individual components will modify the effects of another drug. We know this. So the question, though, is the entourage effect of the different terpenes, does this impact the effects of THC or CBD? The answer is yes, but more research is needed, because although we do know they interact with each other, one of the concerns and one of the big problems with the whole field of medical cannabis at the moment is consistency of product. So different levels of the terpenes, for instance, are going to have different effects. It may be that the terpene level, which terpene we're talking about, is high enough in one sample to have an interaction, whereas in another sample of cannabis, it's below the level. It's such a small amount that it doesn't have that effect. The one thing about the entourage effect is we really need to do the research on different types of cannabis and make consistent levels with these terpenes. We know with traditional medicines that natural extracts or the natural products do have effects and they interact with each other that are not present in the isolated single drug, the westernized approach to drug. So yes, they have effects. However, the individuals who are taking the cannabis and saying the entourage effect have no result on me. It could well be the sample. So we need to do extra research there to further the entourage effect.
Dr. Koop, you alluded to the potential for CBD to have a blunting or mitigating effect on THC. To the consumer who is going into a dispensary and maybe trying to choose a product, or maybe has been advised from a medical consultation regarding cannabis to seek a product, are they well advised to look for products that combine THC and CBD? And if so, why?
My answer to that is that it's really down to the individual. I cannot give medical advice and tell them to look for a certain product. I am not qualified to do that. I would suggest that they talk to their healthcare provider in terms of what their specific needs are. Once they know from the healthcare provider what their specific needs are, then it's interacting with the individuals at the dispensary. However, one of the reasons we created the MCST Medical Cannabis Science and Therapeutics Program here at the University of Maryland was to ensure that the individuals within the dispensaries and in the rest of the cannabis community are actually greater, have actually enhanced education in the whole field of medical cannabis.
And so to add on to that, I've recently gotten involved in some of the clinical aspects of cannabis as medicine. Most of the patients that I've seen are dealing with chronic pain of some sort. And when I've gone to the dispensaries that they're using and I look at the products that are available, it has been very disappointing to me that almost 90% of the products, be it inhalation or oral, are THC heavy, either pure THC or mostly THC, to the exclusion of CBD. And I think that's what Les and I have been struggling with. And it almost feels as if we need to advocate with the producers for more balanced chemovars that can be used as medicine.
Absolutely. And this is actually one of the reasons when you asked me to come today, I really wanted to focus on the benefits of CBD. CBD, as I mentioned, huge benefits for many individuals in the treatment of pain due to the anti-inflammatory effects. Huge impact on the dampening of the effects of THC. Unfortunately, the way that the market is moving is to go to higher concentrations of THC. And that is really looking at this maybe from a recreational market. It's not looking at it from the medical market. If we're looking at it from the medical market for controlling our alternatives to the treatment of pain, then it really should be looking at both CBD and other cannabinoids within there. So yes, when you're looking to treat the pain, if you're looking to treat pain, then yes, THC does work in some situations, but actually, because of the fact that THC does have the intoxication effects, CBD doesn't, as we mentioned. CBD has many benefits that THC doesn't have, and I'm with you 100% that we should promote these other chemovars that have high CBD as well as the THC.
Dr. Koop, you mentioned the ubiquitous nature of CBD now, of being available in so many different forms and locations. And you know, certainly you see it being sold in convenience stores and gas stations and head shops and all. And my question is regarding the safety of those products. We know it's widely available, and we've talked about this a little bit relative to the legalization of hemp through the Farm Bill. But from a quality control and safety standpoint, is there something that our listeners should be aware of or cautious of in terms of where they acquire their CBD?
Yeah, this is actually, unfortunately, where we are with the industry, is the quality control for creating those CBD-based products. They were everywhere. Before Bed Bath & Beyond closed down, they were in there. How those products are manufactured and the quality control for consistency batch to batch is something I would be extremely concerned about. It's more likely to be low doses rather than way too high doses. CBD is pretty safe. It's not going to do you any harm. However, in terms of the inconsistency, so what I would suggest you do in terms of CBD products is I would, as anything else, you get what you pay for. So I would ensure that an established company with true certificates of analysis to ensure that you are getting a consistent product.
Does that usually mean going through a licensed state-sanctioned dispensary?
Probably, yes. But there are other ways and other companies. I don't want to call out any company, obviously, and something like this. But there are companies that are far more legitimate than others. Unfortunately, again, in a business like this, everyone's trying to make money. So we need to ensure that we are going through legitimate businesses. And that's where building a community within the cannabis professionals of individuals you can trust so that we can ensure that we all get the best product possible.
And I've seen some writing that has even cast aspersions on the reliability of products that are acquired through state-sanctioned dispensaries. Is that, it's my understanding that those products generally go through quality control testing that makes them much more safe and consistent, reliable. Is that accurate, do you think?
They do. As with anything else, though, you have to ensure that you get the correct, legitimate product. If you're buying products from illegitimate retailers, then there's a likely you're not getting the product you're getting. Go through legitimate retailers, just like any other product in the world.
Sounds good. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. I think our listeners will gain a lot of insight into this contrast between THC and CBD. So we thank you very much, Dr. Koop, and we'll look forward to having you back for another discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All information, material, and content on this podcast is for general information and educational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for professional and/or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment by a qualified physician or healthcare provider. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and any materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. Cannabis House Call does not offer personal health or medical advice. If you have a medical emergency, call your doctor or call 911 immediately.